Carl Bradley. I'm an extension plant pathologist at the University of Illinois.
And you have told us, and you want to tell producers that wheat scab has been noticed in southern Illinois. Tell us how bad it is at this point and what you are expecting.
Well, you know, I certainly haven't been in every field in Illinois, but the ones that I have been in, which I kind of started looking a couple of weeks ago and a little bit last week as well, and a lot of the fields that I've been in have pretty high levels of head scab. Of course, head scab is sometimes known as Fusarium head blight, and that's a fungal disease caused by the fungus Fusarium graminearum.
All right, and you said it's mostly prevalent. Well, you've been in southern Illinois, and that's where you have seen it with your own eyes, but you're saying that you suspect it is elsewhere?
Well, it actually is in central Illinois, a little bit in my plots, but if you look at where the wheat is really grown in Illinois, the majority of it is in southern Illinois. So when we have a disease problem in that part of the state in wheat, then it's going to have a much bigger impact than if we were just to have it in central or northern Illinois. But yeah, certainly it's in my plots, my research plots here in Champaign-Urbana as well. So we had some weather that was very favorable for infection. You know, the wheat plant's really not susceptible, Julie, until it begins to head out and then begins to flower. And when that happens, if we have lots of really wet weather or humid weather during that period, then infection can occur, and then we can have some disease problems. And fortunately, we had some weather that was like that this year while a lot of the wheat fields were flowering. So that's really why we're seeing that problem. This fungus that causes the disease also causes a couple of different types of diseases on corn. We know it as gibberella, stalk rot, and ear rot on corn, but it's the exact same fungus that causes head blight on wheat. And so the spores that cause infection generally are coming from that corn stubble that's on the ground. So in a state like Illinois, we always have that inoculum present because we have so much corn in our state. And really the thing that kind of changes each year would be the weather. And this was just a year where we had that weather that was really favorable for this pathogen at that right timing when the wheat was just starting to flower. And then that's kind of how we end up where we are.
Well, what is your advice to growers then at this point?
Well, so there's a couple of different things. So what they can do right now is really not too much. It would be too late to apply a fungicide or anything like that. The damage is really done for this year's wheat crop. But for next year, they really need to be looking at growing the most resistant variety that's possible that they can find. Dr. Fred Kolb, our wheat breeder here at the University of Illinois, screens all of the entries that go into our variety testing program and in a scab nursery here on campus, and he puts that data up on the U of I variety testing website. So somebody could just do a Google search for Illinois variety testing, and then that should pop up, and they could go to the small grains page to find that data. So that's really the first step. And then another step that can help manage this disease, which is maybe not quite as critical, but crop sequence can make a little bit of a difference. So following soybean might be a little less risk than following corn, just because this corn is also a host for this pathogen. However, in our research, we've seen that that's probably doesn't have as big of an impact as the variety. And then as far as fungicides are also available, and those can be applied at that flowering stage, what we call FEEX 10.5.1, which is when anthers are just starting to come out of the middle part of the head. And so that's when a fungicide should be applied. So those are kind of the three main things that can be done before the damage happens. But right now we're at a scenario where we're kind of too late for all those for this year's crop. So about the only thing a farmer can do right now is really go out and evaluate and see how much head scab is out there. If it looks like there's quite a bit, then it might be a good idea to kind of adjust that combine to try to blow out a lot of that scabby seed. the infected kernels are going to be lighter weight, and those are also going to be the kernels that are going to have the highest levels of a mycotoxin that we call vomitoxin, or officially the name of that toxin is known as deoxynivalenol, or DON, or you know we can call it DON. This fungus produces that toxin, and so it's a regulated toxin, and my guess is that some of the elevators will be testing for that, and if there are loads that are above 2 parts per million, then that's when we're going to start seeing some discounts at the elevator. So farmers really want to try to turn up their fan speed in their combine, adjust that shutter opening a little bit to try to blow out that lightweight or scabby seed so that they won't get as many discounts at the elevator.
Okay. Well, what kind of yield loss are they looking at here?
Well, you know, yield loss it can really it can range quite a bit. In our research trials, we don't always see a large hit in yield. What we normally see is a large hit in quality. So we see lower test weights, we see high levels of vomitoxin, and then all that together kind of goes to seeing economical losses when you take the grain into the elevator. So we don't always see a big yield loss. However, you know, in some of our trials, maybe we've seen somewhere up to maybe a 10 to 15 bushel an acre yield loss due to scab.